Welcome back to Project Growth. This is Vin Metano. I know it's been a minute since I dropped an episode, but life, you know. So I got a few episodes back in the vault. This is the first start of the new episodes that are coming out for this season. I think I'm going to move more towards a season model so I can, you know, crank out a bunch of episodes, have some off time to build back up, and then release a bunch more. So this episode is with Tom Otiano. I actually had him as my fourth podcast guest ever back in 2019. He's the CEO and founder of Today's Business. He is a digital marketing agency, a consultancy. He works with athletes, the top brands, you name it. And we kind of just chatted a little bit more about how COVID and this kind of move to digital has affected his space in digital, in affiliate marketing, in sports marketing. And we dive a little bit more into those issues. So tune into this episode. It's going to be a great one. Let's get it. We're back with Tom Otiano, who is CEO and co-founder of Today's Business. He's actually my first reoccurring guest. So, Tom, happy to have you.
Thanks for having me again, man. I had a great time last time. I wanted to hop back on.
Yeah, for sure. You guys can definitely catch his episode in Project Growth. That's more about how he kind of started Today's Business and things like that. Today, we really want to focus on the trends that Tom and Today's Business are currently seeing in the marketplace. Obviously, Tom being in the, you know, paid media space as well as sports marketing and management, wanted to get his take on some of the trends he's seeing. So first, Tom, if you don't mind just kicking us off, what really is Today's Business and what do you guys do?
Yeah, we're a full-service digital marketing agency. So we specialize in a multi-channel approach that, you know, really tries to deliver a, you know, return on investment to the client, and they, from a strategy-driven perspective, also from an analytical perspective. So that's us in a nutshell. We partner with a lot of clients of all shapes and sizes. We play in healthcare to real estate to e-com, and it's kind of a wide variety of clientele, but more so, you know, clients that always are looking for more of a ROI from whatever initiatives they're trying to do on the internet. So that's Today's Business in a nutshell. So we kind of, in this landscape, have seen like a lot, because we do play in so many different verticals. And you know, I think it's been very beneficial for us in multiple ways to, you know, kind of like, you know, stay along. We're not, I would say, excelling as a company and growing as fast as we were in the past. But now it's more about, you know, just kind of like figuring out what works best.
Yeah. So it's a shift of like focusing on net new to really focusing on retaining the current customer base. My question for you, though, being in the digital advertising spend since, you know, March, where COVID really picked up, what kind of trends have you been seeing with either your clients or just in the marketplace in terms of companies either shifting to spend more in digital or maybe shifting away from digital? What kind of trends have you been seeing?
Well, definitely the ad spending definitely took the biggest hit of all initiatives, probably in digital, meaning people probably were just a little bit more conservative with how they were spending their money. We saw a lot of our clients, whether it was healthcare, brick and mortar, e-com, you know, just directly just focus on the channels that drove the lowest cost per click or cost per conversion. But I think now we're 90 days into, over 100 and something days into it, especially on the, you know, on the East Coast over here, you're starting to see a lot of companies start to test in different places, just because, you know, since COVID happened, there's been a lot more, advertising real estate out there based on, like, you know, YouTube rolling out a different type of ads, you know, the social media platforms having different types of ads rolling out, as well as like dabbling in different like apps. So it's been really interesting to see that aspect.
Yeah. What kind of industries have you seen the most increase in terms of advertising?
Direct to consumer brands that have, you know, a cult following, or like kind of a community driven audience, you know, they're being very successful in this time. You know, from food to, you know, we were very fortunate enough, we work with like a sports company that, you know, provides, you know, foco.com, and, you know, they, since there's no sports right now, you know, they gave people a sense of like having some sports and fan gear. So that's been really fun to see. But more importantly, I mean, other than that, it's just been very similar things that, like, people want it now. So e-com has definitely seen a big uptick. You know, this definitely time frame, I think, sped the, you know, the way you can order liquor online now and get delivered to your house. I mean, it sped up the, I would say, the e-commerce world about 10 years. So I think it helped businesses kind of adapt to that world, that climate.
Yeah, e-com is pretty interesting to me. I always found myself interested in it because they're really always on the forefront, in my opinion, of, you know, whether it's digital or marketing. What kind of trends have you seen within e-com that are moving away from the traditional? For example, I would imagine that e-com companies are kind of moving away from like the Google paid. Maybe they're moving more on social channels. I don't know if anything have you seen with new channels like TikTok or like anything like that. What kind of new ways is e-com getting in front of the industry?
I mean, to be honest with you, one thing that we've been doing, which has been really pretty interesting, is like we work in the affiliate space. So we manage affiliate programs for a bunch of e-com businesses. And, you know, we started seeing, because like the certain, you know, I would say, quote unquote, like previous ad space that was just pay to play type of atmosphere was more was moving to a more of a performance model, because that like content publisher had like an audience. So they knew they could, they possibly monetize it. So you're starting to see a lot more of that happen and open up in the e-com space, where like there's a lot of like content getting created around e-commerce brands. You know, Google made that big, you know, change with the whole Google shopping and whole that experience and the ad placements for brands during this during this COVID time. So a lot of brands like did take advantage of that. But you know, I don't believe many brands, I mean, if you had an audience that's a little bit of a younger demographic, you know, now that TikTok is opening up like their own like kind of influencer platform, I think you're going to see like a lot more brands just, you know, test pilot some budgets there to see what the ROI gets. It's all going to be about like how they can track it. I mean, that's like the biggest thing. I mean, with all these spends that people have, is the trackability of them and like the actual accurate data you get on what your ROI is to acquire that customer. So, I mean, a lot of brands are, you know, that even that pause brand that paused their spend, they focus on community building. They focus on, you know, got back to, you know, content creation in certain ways, because, you know, just more about like getting out there on different verticals. Well, they started, you know, going live more, like just engaging with the community. Everybody started a podcast, so it's been interesting to play in that space.
Yeah, I would say that's one good thing that's happened since COVID, is a lot of brands are focusing more on like just rich content, even just individuals, creators are just making more content, which I think is beneficial for everybody. It opens a lot of doors, and again, it focuses less on like, hey, we're just paying to play here, or hey, are we building a community? One thing that I've seen at least is pretty untapped in terms of influencer affiliate type of marketing is LinkedIn. There's a lot of individuals on there who are building brands, huge following. Is there an opportunity, you think, on LinkedIn for some sort of influencer affiliate marketing where they're paying individuals to either promote something or create something?
I would say you have to be determined, because now that everybody's is very active on LinkedIn. I mean, a lot of people who weren't active on LinkedIn prior are very active on LinkedIn, dropping content, like you're saying, building that audience. But it's just a matter of time where LinkedIn's going to want to monetize that aspect of things and roll out different, you know, right now their ads are still too expensive for a lot of brands to play with. Yeah, you're going to get to the, you know, purchase decision maker or in the audience that you want to, but it's just too expensive for brands to test pilot in certain areas, unless you're straight B2B, until they can bring over that, you know, consumer facing dollars. It would be probably until I would say like there's a space for it. But yeah, I mean, I think there's an opportunity for it. I mean, right now the algorithms to everybody's advantage, you're starting to see things more and more. If you're not active with it, you're seeing, I mean, I see things from people posted 2 weeks ago. Like, it's very, you know, especially on mobile. I mean, don't get me wrong, on desktop, it's a lot easier to sort and do those things. But if you're going to do it now. Even myself, I mean, I try to, you know, put, you know, be a little bit more engaging on there. You know, put out some content that I believe is, you know, necessary for people to see. If I see a good article, I'll give my feedback on it. You know, I try to, you know, create some blogs now every 2 weeks. I'm being more active on the video component of things, but personally, it's not my, my comfort zone, yet. But I will get there. But you know, it's definitely an advantageous point for somebody to continue to build their audience.
Sorry, my dog's barking. Yeah,
right. Totally. My 2-year-old will probably come out here soon.
Yeah, I gotta love that. Nothing like a Zoom call without that, though.
Yeah, right.
I kind of want to shift in topics. Talk a little bit about the side of the business of today's business that works with, you know, the professional athletes, the sports industry, because that's obviously something that's greatly impacted because of COVID. So I definitely want to talk about that. But first, talk a little bit about the business side of sports in today's business.
So the business side of sports is it's really been shifted over the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years, where we went from, you know, focusing on, you know, building the network of athletes that we continue to work with because of our relationships that we built in the industry and, you know, my prior path and, you know, some of my close friends, you know, having great careers. We were very fortunate enough to meet a lot of great, you know, athletes along the way and, you know, did our job at today's business by branding those athletes properly. So like a lot of people, you know, saw that brand when, you know, when Chris was winning Super Bowls, we capitalized on that marketplace and created a lot of great content around that to, you know, open up a lot of eyeballs. But, you know, that shifted a little bit over the last 2 years where we're focusing more on the brand side. And we're really helping brands, you know, facilitate quote unquote like influencer marketing campaigns, but through athletes, because we built this great network. So like if a brand comes to us and wants to work with, you know, do a campaign like to create content around, you know, with athletes, you know, based on our, you know, industry knowledge in digital marketing, knowing like audiences, how you're going to sell things. We try to pair that brand with the best athletes that we believe that we can, you know, we have access to, or we can, you know, get a deal in front of them to create good content. That's been a big focus around that. So, we've been doing that. It's been extremely successful. You know, we've ran like 3 campaigns last year, did an awesome campaign with the NFL and FOCO and, you know, sourced over 40 NFL players, you know, for this brand that never really, you know, they created they created like fan gear and apparel, but like really never had that interaction with the actual athletes. And, you know, we facilitated that, and that was pretty fulfilling and kind of seeing like the evolution of where we came from. Lately there's like some athletes that, you know, come to, you know, me or our team for like some help with like some branding initiatives, logo design, website design. And we try to dabble in that, but, you know, I think, you know, as things start to come about and, you know, athletes are making a lot more money on the field or on the court than they ever have been, their partnerships, you know, for me, especially like with my network of friends that I work with, like, and athletes that I work with, it's more about like the longer term partnerships that we can discover, you know, brands are going to be with them like after they're retired. So whether it could be an investment opportunity or, you know, partnering with a brand that we just recently partnered with Tomahawk Shades and, you know, working out something where like, you know, we're going to help build the brand. We're partners in the brand. We're going to help accelerate that. You know, so it's really that's where the focus has been in that aspect.
Yeah. And one thing that I definitely didn't talk to you about, which I wanted to bring up, was the NCAA sounds like they're slowly starting to allow athletes to make money, whether it's off jersey sales or is that something that you guys are going to kind of try to get into in terms of helping college athletes? Because you look at like somebody like Zion Williams, who was in college, he was like more famous than, you know, like 90% of the NBA players to someone that doesn't really follow basketball. So like huge market, obviously, for you guys. What, in terms of like how you guys strategize and go into that, how do you guys go about that? And obviously it's not all open just yet, but what kind of opportunities lie there?
So I've been pretty proactive in that space. So my team and I have been in the background trying to work on some opportunities or look at some consulting agreements and consulting arrangements. Want some, you know, the biggest onus is not going to be necessarily on the, you know, the brands are going to be able to find the athletes just through Instagram. Like these kids, especially the NBA. I mean, there's high school kids or middle schoolers that have bigger followings than, like your point, some of the NBA players. It's insane. So that's where it's going to be interesting. So I think the onus is going to be more so on the NCAA, providing resources and, you know, and the right resources, to at least not necessarily have control on it, just guide these kids in the best way possible. So I've been utilizing, you know, my resources that I have, and especially, in the collegiate realm. I'll definitely going to be, you know, helping Monmouth out with, you know, figuring this, Monmouth University out with, like, figuring that out on how they're going to have to, because it's going to be part of attracting players. Like, you know, if a college can tell, you know, think about it. I mean, if these colleges can tell these kids that they can make X, Y, and Z money if they, like, come there now, like, legally and not having to do it like a backdoor deal, it'll be interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be very proactive on trying to find opportunities to consult with either universities, you know, coaches, you know, athletes, you know, people that want to pick their, I think there's a huge opportunity, one, to monetize it, but also at the same time to, you know, just set it right. I mean, because if they do this the right way, if the NCAA does this the right way, you know, it could be beneficial for all parties.
Yeah. And then the last thing I want to talk about is, obviously, with sports slowly coming back, NBA announced they're coming back in July. I think MLB is the next one that announced they're coming back. UFC has been going on. How do you think this influences sports in the future, like a post-COVID world, 2 to 3 years down the line? Do you think at all this impacts the way that sports are operated?
Well, it's definitely going to impact the way sports are operated. I think it's going to bring a lot of opportunity, especially over the next like 2 to 3 years for, you know, I mean, shit, I mean, excuse my language, but if you think about it, I mean, it would have been a perfect timing to have like a minor league system for the NFL. You know, the NFL can afford it. You know, I think it's going to bring a lot of opportunity for people or, you know, kids that, you know, that were especially in the NFL, because there's so many, you know, different than the NBA, there's like 22 or say 30 max people that go to an NBA camp, where there's, you know, 90 that go to an NFL camp. I think it's going to give a lot of opportunity for like a, for small school players or people that like were on the cusp of making a team actually sticking around. It's going to open up roster spots. So that operational side will be great. And I think advantageous to, like, you know, somebody like myself that was, you know, my dream was to play in the NFL, but like I wasn't a first round draft pick. I was an undrafted free agent from a small school that had a very small shot. Like now my I'll have, you know, 12 lives instead of 9, you know, in the NFL. So I think it's going to help there. I think operationally it's going to change the way people work out and prepare, you know. Virtual learning is going to be a thing. I mean, I'm a person or an athlete that had to learn through experience. So like, yeah, I can look at it on paper and there's the playbook, but like until I actually ran the play and knew fit it out. So that's going to be different. Yeah, I mean, you're going to see the natural freak athletes probably excel more now than they ever did, because it's going to be, you know, going to be a one way street in a lot of avenues.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's really exciting to see what kind of trends are going to happen with, like you said, digital marketing and as well as sports, and definitely going to be a different world in a few years. So, Tom, I appreciate the time today, and I'm excited to get this one up.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. Had a great time.
Cool.